Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Doug Show. My name is Doug Cunnington, and I wanted to pop in before I send it to the interview with Matt Giovannisi. We talk about Swim University. That's Matt's website. He's been running it for like 15, 16 years, something like that. And his site was hit by the helpful content update. So we talk about what it was like going through that. We talk about some of the details of the helpful content update. We talk about his plan to recover the site and a little bit more. It was a long episode. Matt and I are friends. He actually lives like a couple miles away. So we go on a couple tangents. But the thing is, it's a pretty long episode and I wanted to test something. I divided this long, like an hour and 40 minute conversation into three episodes. I'm going to release them all on the same day, but I wanted to divide them up just to see what happens. So there's like three different segments, and this is part one. The other parts are available. Just be sure to download them. Or if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to, you know, check the link in the description and watch the other videos. The other thing is I want to announce my new podcast. I'm finally able to share the name of it, Ranking Revolution. I'll put a link in the description and show notes so you could check it out. I'm not sure if a lot of episodes will be available when you go check it out, but I will leave you the link and you can sign up for the email list so that I can send you information and my plan, and I'll cover this in some other episodes, but basically I was planning on having like a fairly large splash when I launch and release a lot of episodes, maybe like 20 or 30 episodes all at once. And then that would boost downloads. And hopefully from an algorithmic perspective in any of the directories, that would be a positive thing. But I decided to do things a little bit different. And to make it interesting, I will share that in the other intro for part two of the conversation with Matt. So the other thing to note is that Matt and I recorded this episode a few weeks ago and was before the March core update started to roll out, and we didn't know it was going to come out, right? We knew some update was going to happen in the future, but we didn't know it was going to be this very comprehensive March core update in 2024. So we didn't talk about that. And, you know, part of recording a podcast and having travel plans and other obligations and such, sometimes I work fairly far ahead, and this is the case here. So I have travel coming up. I unfortunately got sick in the last couple of weeks, so I worked far enough ahead where I didn't have any major issues or scheduling issues or anything like that. But the thing is, I recorded several episodes like 6-8 weeks ahead of time because of travel and upcoming travel that I haven't even gone on yet, like coming up in April and beyond. So anyway, it's something we didn't talk about at all because we didn't know it. Hopefully soon I'll have Matt back on and we could talk about what happened after the core update. At the time that I'm recording this right now, we're only like 1 week into the core update. So again, I'm working ahead. I just have to do this from a scheduling standpoint. But when there's like things happening like each week, it makes it a little more complicated. So anyway, this is part one. Be sure to check out parts two and three. And please check out Ranking Revolution. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Doug Show. My name is Doug Cunnington. And today we are still following along with the carnage behind the helpful content update. And I have my good friend, Matt Giovannisi, founder of Swim University, founder of Money Lab. He's created many things over the years. And today we're going to talk about how his site was impacted. We're going to talk about kind of emotionally what you've gone through, because it's been a roller coaster, I know.
Yeah.
And the plan to recover, as well as Money Lab, the podcast, which has been rebooted.
Secret.
So, yeah, people haven't, you haven't talked about it too much, no. But I've been listening a little bit. So we're going to get into all those details. Matt, how's it going today?
Good. I'm good.
Thanks for coming over.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
People that aren't watching on YouTube, Matt's actually a neighbor.
He lives about
a mile away. So it's cool to have an in-person interview.
Yeah.
For the people that don't know you at all, can you give a brief intro
about sort of your history, how long you've been working online, and then we'll start talking about Swim University as an intro of where it was, say, about a year ago. But yeah, who are you?
I've been running an online business since 2006, full-time since 2011, and that business has been swimuniversity.com, where I teach people how to take care of their pools and hot tubs. That is my business. It started as a, what I guess the audience would call a niche site or an authority site, and I feel like it's kind of surpassed that a little bit, but then I don't really have a name to call that. We are a digital education company or a digital media company, depending on who you talk to or who's interested. And I've started a bunch of other like little niche things along the way, just as a person who needs to express their creative energy into things. So I guess that's the gist.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think nowadays we look at the stuff we're doing, we're like, yeah, this is a media company. You have a YouTube channel, you have a podcast, like you've done a lot of things. You had one of the early personal finance podcasts and you were at places like FinCon, which you don't typically attend these days, but now I'm going.
Right, right.
And yeah, it's interesting all the different projects you've started.
I know.
What percentage would you say have been successful versus sort of unsuccessful, defined however you want
to. So I would say all of my media projects, the ones where I was building a brand around the product of doing content, have all been successful. The software companies that I've started have all been failures. And I think that speaks to my strengths and weaknesses. Like my strength is 100% content. My weakness is software. I know how to code, but I'm not a coder.
Right.
You know?
It's interesting. Yeah. When I look back at the stuff that I have been working on and what I'm trying to create now, like I'm starting a new podcast that we've talked about before. Right. And the thing is, I never viewed myself as like a creative type even.
Right.
But now, like literally, I'm just like creating things and pulling ideas from here and there. And it's super interesting because I didn't think that was a strength of mine, but it turns out
it is
one of the things I can do.
Right.
Maybe I just like it better than some other stuff.
And that's, that's how I feel. I just like it more.
So you started Swim University in something like 2006.
Yeah.
It's almost 20 years old.
I know.
Right.
I mean, I bought the domain name in 2004.
That's crazy.
I know.
In a couple minutes, obviously, we can go super in-depth. There's been many different approaches. You didn't know what you were doing back then. SEO has changed, blah, 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 right? But can you sort of give us a accelerated story of Swim University? And you could maybe focus on kind of the tail end. So, you know, the first 10 years, like, pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
The first 7 years was part-time. So I was working at a pool company. So it's the only job I've ever known, right? I've been in pools my whole life, didn't go to college. That's all I've ever done. I did Swim University, and I would work all day in the pool company, and then I would come home and work on my pool company. And it was back then, it was crap. I'm not a good writer. I failed every English class in high school. So like, not my thing. But that's what I ended up doing because I wanted to have a website. So, yeah, early days was creating a bunch of crappy content really fast as I possibly could, taking that content, putting it through what I guess would back then be the equivalent of ChatGPT, called article spinning, where it would just rearrange sentences. And then I would submit those articles to directories to get backlinks because that's what I was told to do. And so over time, I built that up. And then one day I switched to, I think it was 2008, I switched to, or maybe even later, like 2009, I switched to just, I'm going to write really great articles. And then all of a sudden it started to take off for me. And by 2011, I had lost my job, used that time and freedom and money to essentially work on it full time, and was able to make, I think, like $40,000 for the first time in 1 year in like 2012 or 2013. So I was like, it's this, you know, and then, you know, meanwhile, to supplement, because I wasn't making $40,000, I was doing website design. I had client work. So I moved, I did that, and it was really all articles. So all I was doing is I had a WordPress site. Before that, I didn't even have a WordPress site. I did everything by hand. Mm-hmm. So I had individual HTML pages for every article. But then would just do articles, focused 100% on Google, like S for SEO traffic. And then I got into video, YouTube specifically, in my first video might be 2011. And I focused on that for a few years. And then that's when I started to do other things. That's when Listen Money Matters came up, and I sort of, you know, stopped working on Swim University. It was making money still. Stopped working on that, did the other stuff. And from basically that time till even last year, it was always the main project, but a side project. Mm-hmm. And there was only really the first 7 years where was the most I ever worked on it. And then I worked on it again really hard in like 2016, 2017 between projects. And then now I'm back 100, you know, doing it 100%. And I've had a myriad of different employees and subcontractors work on the site over time, and have expanded into video and what have you. And so, yeah, now it's a media company. We do all the things. We sell our own products, physical and digital. And I've decided to focus 100% of my business effort, I'll say, on that brand, because it is just the only one that has worked this entire time.
It's crazy how well like a side project can go, because yeah, you are scattered and doing a bunch of others. I mean, it's fun. Like, we like to start new things.
Yeah. Right? It still bothers me that I'm like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, it's like, I still, even to this day, even today or yesterday, I'm like, I want to do something. I want to do something else, you know? Yeah, and it's like, you got to just focus, Matt. Just
right.
You bring it, rein it in.
And the funny thing is, like, with my new podcast, I was pretty pumped about it. Like, we chatted mm-hmm. over beers once, and you were like, that actually sounds kind of cool. Started running with it. You know, you're excited at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, like, now that I'm sort of in the middle of the beginning, I'm like, oh,
now it's a slog.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I could be doing like whatever, nothing. I could be taking a nap. And yeah, I'm like, would that have been a better choice? But I mean, at the end of the day, it will be cool.
Building things from nothing is the fun part.
Yeah.
Maintaining them once they're built is the hard part. That's how I feel.
Yeah. And the one thing, and then we'll start talking about you again, but the one thing that I have built in to my new podcast is, like, I'm planning on selling it.
Yeah.
And so it's like an exit plan. You have an
exit strategy. Yep. Yeah.
Like, from the beginning. And we only know to do that now.
Yeah.
That we've started several things that we mm-hmm. didn't have an exit strategy. So now I'm like looking at it, and I see who could buy it now. I see like software companies. I see companies that are like, I don't know, like SEMrush or Hrefs. Like, I think Hrefs is supposed to be starting a podcast, and there's people are trying to do it. Mm-hmm. And I could just have a turnkey thing. Like, here are the keys. Take this thing. I'll help you transition it.
Yeah.
But just take it, and you got it, and it'll grow into something huge. But I don't want to do that.
Right. And I know a lot of businesses, they really only make money on the exit.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, they okay. earn revenue that whole time, and they take some of it as a salary, sure. But the business doesn't actually make money until it's sold.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's learned that late in life.
Okay. So back on track here. Things were going pretty good. And Swim University was earning more and more like the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. You were able to expand essentially into physical products, mm-hmm. which makes it feel even more real. One thing to go back on is, let's talk about that. So Swim University probably pulled in like more the last 3 years than like a lot of the other years combined. So what was that like? Because at that point, you know, you're a simple man. We're simple people, right? Mm-hmm. Humble backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like earning more money in like top line revenue than like you probably thought you could earn over like a decade or something. So mm-hmm. what was that like mentally?
oh man, like just making more money. So pandemic was really hard for everyone. For me, I was going through horribleness, like on top of the pandemic. So there was family tragedy and then pandemic. And then that's when my business did the best. But during the pandemic, I wasn't working on it. And it was the best money it's ever been. I was working on a software thing again. So it was like, and then I had Brew Cabin was working. I was doing YouTube videos for that. I was doing Money Lab stuff. I was trying to actually pivot away from Swim University to do Money Lab full time, thinking that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And ironically, the 3 years where everyone had to stay home, the pool industry itself, like, huge boom. So like the traffic was insane, the sales were insane, and I was trying to get out of it. and so many people were trying to get in it at that time, and are now in it, and now it's down, and I don't know what they're gonna do, but here we are. Yeah. But yeah, the money part is interesting. I don't feel any different. I also don't feel like I make a lot of money. My business does, but I have a salary, and my wife has a salary, and my brother has a salary, which by the way is the entire company, is the three of us. And so we get paid more than most people, I would say, but like not 1% money, you know? So like, the business, if I didn't spend on the business, we could take a lot more. But again, like, we're still doing, you know, like this year, I don't know what's going to happen this year because it's much lower, and it is making me a little bit nervous, I'm not nervous about like us being okay. I'm just more worried about like the business stuff in general. But yeah, I don't feel it. Sometimes emotionally it's isolating, if that makes any sense, of being like somebody who owns a business, makes money, and then can't really explain to other people how that's possible.
And we're in a good area for this, actually, because like, yeah, we know each other.
Yeah. Back in Jersey, nobody. Really, really alone.
They think we're just like independently wealthy or something like
that. My friend, I just had a conversation with him last night, grew up with him, and he was like, I know you have Swim University, like, I know that's your business, but I actually have no idea how you make money. And I told him how, and he was like, man, I did not know that. That's impressive. And I was like, could have asked me. It's been 30, 40 years, you know, but I'm surprised that, like, yeah, it's weird. Cause I honestly, besides you in my personal life, no, I got like two other people, yeah, like, know exactly what I do and how I make money. And they also do that thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, like, I can just kind of relax and not have to explain everything. Mm-hmm. Although I'm explaining it now to you as if you don't know, but yeah,
it's more meta. We're talking about the thing, but the other part is like, we do have a lot of friends that are early retirees. They're roughly our age and they're very wealthy, and we like dress like we do,
yeah,
and just look like, I mean, we look,
I still don't even feel that way. Yeah. I don't feel wealthy at all. I feel like I'm still living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
Or at least I may not be, I mean, I'm not, but I have that mentality of like, I don't know when it's going to end someday.
Yeah.
You know, I have that sort of like constant fire of, and not financial independence, retire early. I am definitely
a fire, a literal fire.
Because everyone would, I've been told by other people that like, I am fire, like that I have achieved that. And I'm like, okay, but I don't feel that way. And again, I think if I was even fire, like if all my money was coming from the stock market, I would feel even worse. Like, I would feel even more anxiety because I'm like, oh, I have no control over the, you know, at least I have control over, I send an email and I can make some quick cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's something you'll have to figure out, because at some point you will have enough, and then even you will
have that.
But yeah, this is a different conversation.
I don't know.
My wife and I have the same struggle, because I'm like, hey, like you just kind of chill out a
little
bit.
Yeah, you can just chill.
And she's finally come around, but her level of security is much higher than mine.
That's Steph's, yeah, for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as an entrepreneur or someone who likes to start things, like mm-hmm. we're like, oh, if we needed to earn more money, it'd actually be a little bit of fun to figure it out.
I do have an existential issue with that. Recent, you know, I don't know if this is a sidebar.
But tell me what it is and then we'll skip it. And okay. We'll talk about it later.
Everything I've ever learned in life, all the skills that I thought if ever I were to lose my position at some university or some university would die, I have enough skills that I've built over, you know, 30 years that I could transition into any other job, consulting, whatever. AI can do all of those things. I just picked the skills that AI is good at. And so I need to come up with another skill that AI can't do. I know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
The one thing you can do, although you have gotten away from it, and then I promise we will move on. We have questions from the audience as well. You can speak and you are entertaining. So there is
AI.
Not in a live room in the same way. People will connect with your personality for some reason. Right. I don't know why, Matt.
I don't know either. Crazy.
But yes, it could write your talks for you or whatever, but like your charisma and personality, like
people. Yeah, until it can do that. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I keep thinking of like, yeah, now it can't do that until it can. and I think it's the same anxiety of like, yeah, now we're making money until we don't. And that's okay. Maybe that's a defense mechanism or a survival tactic.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Okay. Yeah, we will move on.
Okay.
So right here, those are good thoughts though, because that's a good debate to have.
Yeah.
All right. I remember before you and I met, before mm-hmm. I moved to this area, I remember listening to an interview you did with Nick Loper, Side Hustle Nation. And I think you were talking about one of your other projects, Brew Cabin. And you were talking about mm-hmm. brewing. And I remember, podcasts are great because I remember where I was at. I was walking in Bozeman. It was a snowy day. I was walking my old dog that day. And you were like talking about brewing. I'm a home brewer. I was mm-hmm. like, oh shit, this is so cool. And you were talking about like a brew kettle. And you were talking about how to write that article and make that article the best that can be. And do you remember this a little bit?
No.
Okay, it's fine. and you were talking about the specific kettle and all the features, and you were just walking through how to create content. And you were like, if you create the best content,
yes,
you will rank the highest. And even then,
yes,
and this was like 2017, 2018, I was like, that's not 100% true, because I know that mm-hmm. I have written some content and it was better. And I'm like, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to write the best content you can, but there's far too many exceptions for one to say, just do the best you can and it's going to come through.
Also, it's so subjective.
Right, right.
And most people, I would say 99.9% of people think they're good and they're terrible.
And that's the other thing. Yeah. So I know that people would say like, the content's good, I wrote it myself. And I'm like, friend.
Yeah, yeah.
However, there are some, I'm not saying I'm the greatest writer, but I had a huge amount of specific knowledge for an industry. I had a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you know, the skyscraper method was super popular. So you ended up with a lot of pretty much level.
Yeah.
It was the same level of really good content. Anyway.
Or one-upsmanship. And it was just, and it was based on metrics and not specific. So like, I have 12,000 words. You have two, you know, it's like I have nine tips instead of eight tips. And it's like, that's not exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, but it's unfortunately is like incredibly hard to give that advice. And the only thing I think, if I could amend that, is this is amorphous and whatever. It's like, but I care more about the content that I'm creating than you, whoever the you is in that statement. Yes, you are right that you can write the best thing in real life and you will rank number two. And I have one specific, there's one specific article that I wrote, and it is, I did a real world thing and I made the and I approached the project knowing that I was going to write the article, like the definitive article on it. And it is the best article, hands down. I can't. And there's somebody who's beating me, and it fucking drives me nuts because I'm like, but mine's better. In every way, in every metric. And I do believe, though, there is another level. There's the, okay, sure, you wrote the best thing. I bet you could go in there and do some like trickery, some like SEO trickery, and there's some more interesting things that you could do to outrank, you know, whether it's backlinks, you know, just driving more traffic to it. You know, rearranging the article to hit a little bit better, studying that other article and seeing why they rank over yours. And there is more to it than just giving a shit and making the best.
And so that aside, so yes, there's other details and all that stuff. When you put in all the time and you cared more, mm-hmm. and you did this for years, mm-hmm. you obviously, you know, worked on Swim University for a long time. So in September of 2023, mm-hmm. helpful content came through. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I'm pretty sure we talked and I'm like, hey, any of the updates hit you, anything? And you're like, I don't think so. Maybe no. There was like a little dip in growth or something, like nothing basically.
Yeah, I didn't see it till end of October or November.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, and just to be clear, seasonal business. So that's September is when it does drop.
Yep. So, and you're comparing year over year, of which always, you have tons of data. Mm-hmm. So not what anymore. Happened? How much of a hit did you take?
50%.
50%.
Yep.
And we're like, whatever, 4 months later from when you had the hit, 3 months later from when you had the drop.
Yep.
Are you still down? Have you seen any recovery?
Yeah, a little bit in February. We're not down 50. We're down 40.
Okay.
But we've gone down, like January was the worst month where we were down 50%. And that is just traffic in general. Like that is just the traffic number from Google Analytics, or I guess, what do you call it now? Yeah, Google Analytics 4. So I lost all my back data, you know, because we switched. But I do have a spreadsheet with every monthly big fat number, you know, but dating back to 2011.
Okay. Huge amount of data.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Oh, by the way, just to be, this is the other, I think, context that's required here. I am comparing it year over year. When I mentioned that the pandemic was huge for the pool industry. So I am still comparing it to the boom of the industry.
Okay.
If I compare those numbers to pre-2020, we're not down, we're up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I still consider that a huge loss. And because again, like I look at I use SEMrush and I've switched from Ahrefs because people probably know that I use Ahrefs. But we still rank for all our like major keywords. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about I lost all of the long tail.
It's crazy.
I know.
And okay. So you weren't hit for several years. We were all blessed by the pandemic, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the greatest thing to come through. Just
for online business. Yeah.
Just kidding, folks. It was horrible. But it made people stay home and they did things at home.
Yeah.
And a lot of online businesses flourished because of that.
100%.
So you saw the traffic drop. You heard other people talking about it. And you, like many other updates, you were like, I'm in the clear. I've been doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been building backlinks, no weird shit, mm-hmm. high quality content. So when you first noticed the traffic was down,
mm-hmm.
what were you thinking? Was it like a drop, like one day it was just like down 50% or
no.
It was just like a dive?
It's always year over year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never seeing it like we're not going up every month.
Yeah.
You know? Sure. So then I would see a huge drop, but the reason I think I didn't even notice it is because I'm like, well, this is when we drop. Mm-hmm. But there was no cliff. Okay. It was a slow decline. And then only until I think the first month when I compared it to the previous month, I was like, oh, that's bad. And it was like, I think it was either November or December where I'm like, we're down 35% from the previous December or November, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, but you know, like it again, like each month is totally different and it depends on the seasonality for us. Cause like, for example, if we, this year we'll have an early spring according to the groundhog. And it's been warm, right? So I think the pool season's going to start in April this year. Last year, it was a late season, so it started in May. So really comparing month over month even doesn't work then because
sure.
A whole month could be if the whole country has terrible weather. And again, we're having nice weather here, but the East Coast is getting pummeled with snow and ice and
yeah.
You know, whatever. So, and that's where most of the pools are in America. So, you know, for us, I kind of feel like it's really even hard to compare month over month. And I'm only comparing traffic, like the actual traffic number, which we get traffic from YouTube. We get traffic from social media. We get traffic from ads that we run. Like there's traffic sources. There's Pinterest. There's all these like different sources that come in. And so, but when I look at specifically Google and when I look at SEMrush and sort of just like look and compare, yeah. That we lost long tail keywords for sure.
So how did you, again, another emotional question here. So How did you feel when you were like, oh shit. And then like, I'm sure you looked at the data, you know, there's going to be a bit of a decline and
yeah.
Then you're like, okay, there's all these caveats. However, after you look for probably about a week or so, you're like, this is legitimately down.
This is down.
Yeah. So what was that like? What was it like talking to Steph? And your brother and stuff like that.
It is what it is. And that's kind of the approach. It was like, well, and the reason I think why is because I saw it coming. I was for as soon as ChatGPT, specifically that product of AI came out, because like Jasper was out before that. And I was like, this is great, but not, you know, when I saw that you could chat, I thought I was like, oh, search is dead. This is it. And I was out there and people think I was like crying wolf essentially. Cause it's like, I'm out there going like, you know, you don't understand. If there's anything that I've understood about Google and writing content is that their entire business model is to get you, the searcher, your answer as fast as possible. The faster that they can get you an answer, the more valuable their service is. Plain and simple. End of the day. So when your content isn't relevant and you're ranking, that's a bad product for Google. Just simple as that. Now, if you have a question that's like, what bromine level should my hot tub be at? You don't need to search the yellow page listings of clickable things. Like that's just all of that is just more time. It just spits out the answer. We saw it with featured snippets. That's what that is, right? It was taking our content out of context and just giving people the answer. And then the SEOs of the world were all like, well, now we want to win that because that's the top result. But now the AI is just going to tell you what it is. Now, whether that's right or not, that's the problem. But when I saw that, I'm like, oh. Now, people told me, that's crazy, Matt, because that would kill their entire business model of ads. And I thought they can still run ads. Mm-hmm. Like it's still like if you use ChatGPT for free, there could be ads running. Like you wouldn't even notice it. You know, like there's ads on YouTube and you still use that the same way. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, I was like, I immediately started to think we have to diversify right now. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started doing other things and started like we used to do other things. And I was like, no, that the other things are the future. Google is going to struggle. And then of course, Helpful Content Update came out and I was like, told you. Mm-hmm. And myself included. So not worried, just, okay, it's happened. And here we are. Now, yeah, that's ultimately the conversation, which was like, okay. And then we thought, what do we do with that? Like, how do we combat? Let's assume, and this is what I do all the time, like, let's assume that's dead, right? It's like, and I write articles like this. It's like, affiliate marketing is dead. And I just like to assume that so that it forces me, it creates the constraint, which forces me to think outside the box. And this is, I don't think it's outside the box, but we were like, all right, doubling down on video. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started going on camera mm-hmm. as a person. Cause I'm like, it's going to be a long time before AI can generate what you were saying earlier about whatever. Right. So I'm like, okay.
Way more trust.
And that's the thing. And you can't, it's hard to measure that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I can measure if someone clicks a video and buys a product. What I can't measure is they clicked an article, they didn't buy a product. But then they were on Facebook and they saw my video and they're like, and then they saw another video and they saw 10 more videos. And then they came back to my website later because they looked up something and they're like, oh, fuck, I like this guy mm-hmm. and bought it. And it's like, all right, my overall conversion rate kind of across the board is probably going to increase simply by me being on camera, assuming people trust me.
Yeah. Well, and it's a bit self-selecting too. So for the people that... you know, they don't like the cut of your jib, then they won't watch anymore nope. and it wouldn't help anyway.
No.
But for the people that stick around and they watch, then it works.
It's all about asset allocation. So it's like we, you know, at this point, we know that anyone can write. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what you do. The barrier to entry is like super low. And so we're like, okay, yeah, that's it's going to get harder and harder to compete there. And now with ChatGPT, it's like now we're in the flood of I call it the flood of shit, of like the mudslide of horrible content. It's just going to get, you know, Google's figuring that out in it right now. And I do believe that we are in a course correction period, like an overcorrection. So I do hope also that things will come back, not as strong as they were in the pandemic, but they will come back. And it's not going to be as dire. Like, mm-hmm. we're not going to have Reddit as the number one result in Google. Right. Because across the board, everyone's like, this is now a bad product. I'm going to ChatGPT or I'm going somewhere else. And and Google knows that. They're not stupid. And they are fixing that. And they're just figuring out how.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, we'll transition in a second to what you are doing. We have a few questions okay. from the audience that hit that area. Couple quick observations. Like, I can't remember. I have so many videos out. I've mm-hmm. said so much stuff, but basically at some point in the past, I was like, we're all focusing on Google. This was like 5 years ago yes. or something. And I'm like, there could be a scenario, yeah. right? Yahoo was huge. MySpace, like fill in the blank. Huge dominant companies fall off. Like something happens. It could be an external force. They could crumble from within, but like shit happens.
Yes.
And Apple could come out with their search engine to be default on the phones,
and then,
right?
Yeah.
Huge, right? That right. will take a pretty giant chunk. Let's say OpenAI has their search
yep.
engine of some kind or something that replaces Google. All of a sudden, you go from like whatever 90 to 95% saturation in the search engine market to like 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's splintered. Then mm-hmm. someone can make their whole business where they're like, I do Apple SEO.
I do that, yeah.
And it doesn't like... People back then thought it was like crazy. But the thing is, like, there's just too many examples of dominant companies.
Yeah.
That like lost touch.
Well, that's, I mean, you could, I learned that lesson back in 2018 or 2016 when Amazon was like, we're just going to cut your affiliate stuff. And I'm like,
2017 and 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, so, right. And then I had this saying where I was like, you're basing your entire business on, and it's being run by a board and you don't have a seat, right? So it's like, you're just like, I hope that the board gets together and says, we like affiliate marketing, let's pay them more, but they're not. And you have no say. And so you're going to base your entire, it's like, you know, it's the adpocalypse on YouTube. It's like, I mean, make all our money from YouTube ads. And it's like, until you don't. And it's not even like they just cut it and it's gone. Sometimes I feel like that would sometimes be better. Right. Right. Where it's like, no, 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 we're just going to cut it like in half.
A little bit.
Yeah. Or like 25%. You're like, and if you, and he, I look, I think a lot of businesses fail because of bad accounting. I would say that like that is the Achilles heel of most businesses. And that's just an observation. Mm-hmm. Because I'm in the pool industry, we had to learn, or I've always known how to manage money in the ups and downs because we have them every year. It's like it happens. It's so it's like we know that come September, which is exactly when the helpful content update came out, we know start hoarding. Because, or like all that money you made over the summer, it's got to last for the next 6 months because we don't start making money until like the end of May. Right. And then we're making good money in September because we're still collecting from the previous month or whatever. And so, or, you know, we're not buying inventory anymore. So it's all cash flow. Mm-hmm. I believe that mentality, the thinking that way and knowing when to hold essentially and stop and lower spending and just keep control of spending has saved my ass so many times in all of these ups and downs when Amazon got hit, when this HSC or whatever it's called, or HC, what is it called?
HCU
happened. And something else will inevitably happen at some point. You know, so yeah, I feel like having that muscle built has served me well.
And just to clarify, the accounting issue is essentially like people not managing cash flow.
They're correct.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Holy shit, I made like $15,000 and they don't realize like a third of that is taxes.
So that wraps up part one of this interview with Matt Giovannisi. There are two other parts, so be sure to check those out on your podcast player or over on YouTube. And please check out Ranking Revolution. Again, you can sign up for the email list if the episodes aren't available yet. You just sign up for the email list, but should be very obvious if you follow the link, and it should be out pretty soon. I'm not 100% sure when I'm launching, so that's why it's a little bit vague. But thanks a lot for checking out this episode. Check out Matt's stuff. He's publishing podcast over on MoneyLab.